Call now to get your tree questions answered by ISA certified arborist John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service.
Mr. Eisenhower has introduced a tree hack of the month that he'll bring with him going forward, but you also have a tree of the month that you have been bringing for the past couple of years. Do we have one today?
I do. I've got a really cool tree. It's a smaller tree, appropriate for a patio setting. It actually can grow as a large shrub. So if you've got a spot that you want to cover with a really beautiful, a dark green, waxy kind of leaves, bipinnate with little smaller leaves connected to leaflets, that's just really cool. It's got a beautiful a purplish bloom that they it's called a guaiacan, and it's G-U-A-Y-A-C-A-N. You can look that up. And they're not commonly available in all the nurseries, but if you call around, you can generally find some available. And it's just one of those cool plants, a little kind of slow growing, as most smaller trees are. They don't achieve their landscape purpose as quickly as these fast-growing larger trees. But once they get in place, they're really very, very cool trees. There's several different varieties. There's one in that has this purplish bloom. There's another one that's probably even more common here in Phoenix, has a yellow bloom, a dramatic yellow bloom. So if you are looking for something with that nice contrasting dark green color with a yellow bloom that comes on in the spring, check out a guaiacan, and it will, like I said, be a something that will cover a smaller area. I think they plant out at maybe 10 feet maximum height would be a typical, and they're just one of those cool flowering trees. We don't have too many flowering trees that are really dramatic, and that's one that I think I would consider. It's not going to be a deciduous tree losing its leaves. It's going to be evergreen all year, and I think you'll be pretty darn happy with that tree. Speaking of trees that you'll be happy with, I wanted to give a shout-out to a good friend of mine, Dr. Chris Martin at ASU. Chris has been doing a lot of research over the years in urban forestry, and he's a professor at the ASU Polytechnic Institute, and used to be on the Tempe campus for many, many years. And he has put together a virtual library of Phoenix landscape plants. And I don't want to give you a long URL on the radio today, but if you'll look up Chris Martin ASU, you'll get right to his landing page, and it will take you to his virtual library of Phoenix landscape plants. And this library of plants is a labor of love that Chris has just done on his own, and it has about 500 trees and shrubs and ground cover and cacti, and you can click on it, and it opens it up to an incredible wealth of information about various types of trees and shrubs. You can click on the tree, and you can take a picture. You can take a look at the photographs that Chris has taken of them, so you can see the bloom. You can see what the tree shape looks like. So just wanted to give you a heads up, Chris Martin, ASU, and you'll be you'll have in your hands a really great resource, online resource of. And what's really great about it is it's featuring trees right here in the Phoenix Valley, the Sun, and in the Southwest. So trees that are appropriate to our climate. And with Chris's wealth of information from having lived here and worked with these plants, he gives some really nice little tips on things you want to be looking out for and appropriate characteristics of the plant for certain situations.
1-888-767-4348 as we get to our callers, if you'd like to join the conversation. Chris is first, and she would like to talk about a sisu tree. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi. This is my neighbor's tree. It's right on the common wall in our backyard, and it's wreaking havoc on the wall. It's about 2 feet tall, and it's so close, it's leaning out like a crowbar. I don't know if there's anything you could tell me that would help the situation.
Well, what is the problem? It's the tree because the top part of the tree is leaning over your wall, or is...
No, it's leaning towards their house, which faces east, but it's breaking up the wall.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, I can't get him to do anything. He doesn't want to take it down. Is there any way to save that situation? A wall or the tree or?
Yeah, once the roots from trees get underneath the wall and start cracking the block walls, there's not a lot you can do apart from taking the tree out because the roots have already gotten pretty deep underneath. If it's just beginning to send some little hairline cracks between the block and the tree's far enough away from the wall where you could maybe trench down and install a root barrier, that's always a possibility. But if the trees are right up against walls, which they, you know, quite often are, those roots are pretty involved underneath the footing of the wall. You know, the footing of these block walls is sometimes only a foot or 18 inches deep at most, and then, you know, it's not like a home foundation, which is much deeper and set over a substrate and compacted soil. Sometimes these walls have very, very shallow footings, and those roots can get right under them pretty quickly, especially if there's water from your side of the fence that is saturated down underneath the wall and contacted some roots, which then those roots follow the water back under the wall to your yard. So if you have trees on a neighbor's side of the fence, might be an encouragement. Just try to keep your water away because those roots will only travel where there's available water. So you don't want your water to be, causing those roots to find your water that's already gotten under their wall and then travel back up to your side.
There's a whole set of laws, tree law.
Yeah.
When do you invoke legal system to navigate a situation like this?
Right. I've been involved as an expert witness on several cases where neighbors have had complaints against their next-door neighbor because of encroachment issues, the roots coming onto their property line and onto their property, across the property line. And it's a very delicate matter. States have various tree laws. I have a document that I'm happy to send out to people who might have a concern about this. And it gives a little bit of an overview. But you do need to, if you have a complaint against a neighbor and you've asked them to mitigate some damage that's occurred or a hazard as you perceive it, even a nuisance, the laws in various states give you some protocols to follow. And if you do have a legitimate complaint, there are some legal measures. Of course, we'd try to we always encourage our clients to try to stay out of any legal battles because it's that can be very expensive and time consuming.
A lot more expensive than just building a new wall.
Yeah, well, it's much better to try to get that mediated or arbitrated before you end up in court, but. Sometimes neighbors can be very difficult to work with, and they want their tree, and they don't care what damage it's doing to your home or your wall, and you do have some recourse by seeking some legal attention or bringing it to the attention of the city. Maybe they can step in on your behalf and advocate for you.
Good luck, Chris. Let's see how we can help Mike this morning, calling in from Santan Valley. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. We have some pineapple palms and some Mexican fan palms. And the Mexican fan palms are worse, but they get all this lacy stuff all at the ends and like stringies. And I was wondering what causes that or how I can prevent that. Like I bought the stuff you're supposed to spray on and then water into the base of it to help, but it doesn't seem to do a whole lot.
Can you describe again what you're seeing? I'm not sure if I understand what you're referring to.
Okay, Mexican fan palm.
Right.
And at the end of the fronds where it fans out and even up the whole fawn itself, there's these lacy, like white stringy things. And it almost looks like, what would I compare it with?
Well, there are seed pods in fan palms that emerge along with the fronds. The fronds themselves have, as the ends dry out and they can have a little white tip on the ends of the fronds, which is kind of normal as they're just drying out over time. But I think what you're probably referring to are the seed pods that emerge with the fronds only after a tree reaches a certain maturity. And I think trees have to be probably 10 or 12 years old, I want to guess, in that average age. Fan palms will grow without seed pods until they reach a certain maturity, and then they can begin to produce them. And it's a bit of a nightmare and a surprise to owners of fan palms. All of a sudden, trees that didn't have seed pods in 1 year produce them. And the seed pods, as they emerge, they will produce a bunch of flowers, and the flowers will fall. And if the seed pods aren't taken out during that flowering season, which is usually after the middle of June through the summer, then they become, those little flowers become a little black seed. And then those seed pods are loaded up with these heavy clusters of black seeds, which in turn drop by late summer, early fall. They land in the soil below the trees, and they'll start popping up as new fan palms all over your yard underneath the trees. So you do need to attend to those before they start producing seeds every year, or you'll be dealing with those little volunteers all over your yard.
And if that wasn't it, you still feel it might be something else that's stringy, you can email a picture, if you can snap a good photo of it, to info@rosieonthehouse.com. Before we bring our next caller in who wants to talk about pecan trees, let's go ahead and get our, let's see, Sun Devil tickets. This is for ASU basketball against UCLA. It is February 23rd. It's a four-pack, 7 p.m. game. If text the correct answer to 411-923 at the beginning of the hour, you mentioned a family of tree that produces beans. What is the name of that family? First correct answer, we'll give you, send these this four-pack of tickets to your doorstep so you can go enjoy the game with three of your closest friends or family. What's the name of the family of tree that produces beans? Let's go to Dwight, also in Santan, with pecan trees. Good morning, Dwight.
Good morning.
Hey, Dwight, how are you?
I got pretty good. I have five pecan trees that I've had for about five or six years, and they're probably 3 or 4 years old when I got them, and they've never produced.
Well, I know it takes 7 to 10 years for pecans to start producing, so you're right at the threshold. They may just not be mature enough yet. And they need a lot of zinc in their fertilizer. I know that too.
Yeah. Well, Romy's speaking from personal experience. I think you have some pecans, don't you?
4 years old now. I got one tree produce one pecan at 2 years. It never ripened, but I had a nice little green pecan nut.
Well, yeah, you know, under optimum conditions, you know, maybe at 7 years. So if you're right in that time frame, you can expect them to start producing sometime pretty soon. So that's the good news. So just improve those soil conditions, occasionally some fertilizer, you know, good zinc content to improve their fruit production.
And water. For every year of a pecan tree, that's how many gallons it needs per day. So if it's a year old, it needs a gallon a day. Or 10 gallons, I'm sorry, it's 10 to 1. So if the tree is 10 years old, they say it needs 100 gallons of water a day. Now, you don't water every day. Let's say you water once a week and it's 10 years old. Well, it needs 700 gallons that week when you water.
Wow.
That's a lot of water.
Yeah, it is. It is. I was.
That's why you see them growing a lot along the Verde River and Camp Verde.
Yeah. In fact, some of the pecan orchards out in the Far East Valley years ago that were sold to developers, tried to keep a lot of those trees in place and found that it was a challenge because they had such high water requirements. You start building homes in and around those trees, they had to make some real allowances to try to get those trees adequately watered, and some of them didn't survive that process because they weren't really prepared for the volume of water they needed.
It's a lot.
They're thirsty trees. Yeah, absolutely.
Thirsty trees, but they're beautiful trees. They are beautiful trees.
Yeah, I like them.